Hello and welcome to The Garden Show. My name's Kitty LaBounty.
This is Molly Kabler, and it's the pop-up version. It's Wednesday morning just after 8:30, and we're here to talk to you about gardening in Southeast Alaska.
Ah, and what a lovely day for gardening it is.
This is a great day to get in the mood, and I say that because I just want to affirm that you're not too late. I had frost on my car this morning, like not a rhyme, but a real.
Like a real frost. Yeah, no, it actually has been pretty cool the last several evenings, even before this kind of sun break that we got. So, yeah, don't feel like, you know, oh my gosh, I already missed the season. The season is just getting going. If you already have things going, great. If you don't worry about it. Just start.
I see a lot of folks planting out small starts, and that's one of the things we wanted to talk about, helping you have the most success as you transplant from something you either started in the house or you've picked up at the garden center. The key word is called hardening off, and we want to talk a little bit about what that means.
Yes. Basically, the general idea is you want your seedlings to get used to leaving their protected, warm environment of your home or your greenhouse, wherever you're growing them, and then they're moving out into the air quotes, cold, cruel world. It's a little cooler. It's a little windier. It's a little everything. So they need some time to really kind of get used to that switch up. What I generally like to do is to take the process over a few days. So I'll take my seedlings out of the greenhouse and I'll put them outside in the flats during the day, and I'll cover them up with, yes, spun row cover, which seems to be my fallback for everything. Just to get them used to that higher level of light, really, and just the temperature difference. But light's probably the bigger issue outside. Anyway, so I'll do that for several days, moving them back and forth. And then finally I'll decide, okay, I'm tired of moving them back and forth.
Yes, usually we run out of patience, right?
And I think usually by the time, because the other trick I do is even after I plant most things, they go under remay, just because I know it gives things a little bit of a boost, temperature-wise, and protects them from whatever marauding critters are in the area.
I know one way to you know, try and track is to watch what the weather says the overnight temperature is going to be. But realize, at least in Sitka, that temperature is prediction and measuring is usually at the airport. So I looked at my temperature this morning electronically, 39 degrees. That sounds well above freezing, but I actually had much colder
right.
weather at my house. But another way around a lot of this is you can just, if you don't want to go in and out, and you can do just a progressive set of out. So for example, mm-hmm. if you can't take them in and out, but you can move from in the house to slightly harsher conditions on a porch or deck, and then out into the sun. And, you know, again, you're using time, but you may not go in and out. And then once you planted things, cover them up every night until you're sure that it's mm-hmm. warm enough. Now, there are hardy starts that'll probably you can get
right.
away with. So if you're planting out kale or spinach or something like that, they're tough. They're going to be able to handle some light frosts. But be super cautious if you have anything that's really tender.
Right. And I honestly do think the biggest issue is the light difference. You know, we try to give our seedlings lots of light indoors. But the full spectrum of the sun is a much more intense light level. So I think that's often is the issue more than actually cold, because usually by the time we decide we're going to put things out, we're you know, it's warmer. I still would caution you about that. And in some ways, it might make more sense to cover them up during the day.
The other thing is, there's so much variability around where you live and the siting of your property. I looked at a National Weather Service estimate that said the average frost-free date for Sitka is April 19th. So that was,
right.
you know, a few weeks ago, but that's the average. So that means there are times when we don't have much of a frost afterward, at least not officially. So you may well be in a place where you don't suspect any more frost
right.
is happening and you're good to go. And we understand that.
Yeah. So it's basic. The most important thing, as always, is to know your garden, know how much light it gets, know what the tendency is for frost and all that sort of stuff. So the more you know about your site, the better off you will be for planning and for avoiding issues. I was going to say the other thing you can do in terms of seedlings is some people have like kind of low, I was going to say low velocity fans. So if you have like a fan you can put on your seedlings so they're getting a little bit more air movement and all that, that's another way to kind of toughen them up and get them used to the great outdoors.
Yeah. So while they're still indoors, you're saying put this fan on them. Yeah. Another way is you can even just do a very, very careful hand brushing will actually, you know, kind of help them along a little bit. All right, well, we have a few other topics we want to talk about, but first this.
Programming on KCAW is provided by First Bank, a local funding source for boat loans, home loans, and remodel projects with a home equity loan or line of credit. First Bank, the one who's here. Member FDIC and equal housing lender.
Support for this program comes from Alaska Seaplanes, operating daily flights between Sitka and Juneau with connections to other communities in northern southeast Alaska. Online booking is available at flyalaskaseaplanes.com. Alaska Seaplanes, flying at a higher standard.
So one of the other things we wanted to talk about was potatoes. Now, you may already have your potatoes in the ground.
And that's good.
But if you don't, we have a few things to suggest to you. I have my potatoes actually sitting out in a window, the sunniest possible window I have going, because I want them to pre-sprout before I plant them.
Right. You want them to know it's time. If you are purchasing seed potato, you can do exactly the same thing. You can set them in a sunny window and get them to get going on their sprouts as well.
So the idea is that, you know, those little tuber things, those little modified stems are going to be what produces your new plant. And so they're going to start producing shoots. And you know this because if you've left a potato someplace that it wasn't quite cold enough or not quite dark enough, they start sprouting like mad. Sprouting is okay, but you want to make sure the sprouts are vigorous and short and not these long, leggy, spindly things that you're going to knock off as soon as you start to plant them. So that's the idea. As you put them out in the window, they start to green up. They start to form these kind of heavy-duty sort of stems.
The other thing to think about is traditionally we all hear about that you have to cut seed potatoes and you can only have one eye. And what does this language mean? The eye is simply the place where that shoot, that sprout is going to come. And yes, you can cut them and have more starts. But I don't know how far ahead you get. In our damp soils and damp climate, that cut potato is probably more susceptible than a whole small round potato or shaped potato. But if you want to expand, yep. And the idea would be cut those potatoes and set them in the window so they almost heal up that cut before you put it in the ground. I mean, they really do form a new sort of outside coat on that cut if you give them a chance. And that'll be much better than cutting them and putting them straight into the ground.
Yeah, no, that's tends to be what I'll do is I'll cut them. I'll let them sit. Even just a day is plenty of time to get that kind of it's just a thicker, almost looks like a callus layer. And obviously you're not growing a whole new, you know, outer coat, but it's enough that the plant is going to be resistant to instant fungal attack or instant bacterial attack. And we don't have too many huge problems with fungal diseases or bacterial diseases here, but you know, why not just do a little bit of preventative measure in order to avoid it?
And then the other key is to know that your piece of seed potato is at the bottom of where your new potatoes are going to grow. And by that, I mean plant it as deep into your garden as possible, because as those sprouts come up, the new potatoes are going to grow between that seed potato and the surface of the soil. So we describe this as hilling potatoes. And the problem is people think that means build a hill and plant the potato on the top, but that's exactly the opposite. What you want to do is dig a hole or dig a trench, plant your seed potato at the bottom, and then hill the soil up over it as those shoots come up. And as much soil as you can find to put between your seed potato and the surface, that gives your potato plant the most area to grow those new potatoes.
So my garden, the bed where I put potatoes looks like some sort of deranged gopher has been there. If you're familiar with gophers, they have these little mounds, but that's the image that comes to mind for me. And I'll dig those holes, and I'll actually take the soil out of the bed, and I'll store it in like these big plastic old style garbage cans I have with a lid on it, and I'll save that soil so it's much easier for me to like rehill them. It's so much easier to just to grab a bucket out of the soil or out of the garbage can and spread it around. So that's a labor saving device for me. The other thing I like to do when I plant my seed potatoes is put seaweed or compost or something in there to give them a little bit of a boost. I know people will put all much, much richer things down below their potatoes as well, but I kind of stick with seaweed and compost.
And then the other thing is you can leave them sort of uncovered until you see those sprouts coming up. Let them benefit from the light right away, and then you can cover up completely, and in a matter of hours they will push through that soil and keep coming up to the surface, reaching for the light.
Yes, so potatoes are a nice thing to grow. It's not like I don't have a discerning enough palate to always go, oh yes, this potato, I grew it, it tastes so much better. But what I do know is that I can grow varieties that I like. So one of my favorites is Rose Fen, and it's a long, skinny potato, and I just love the way those potatoes taste. That's not one that I can just buy in the grocery store. So if you're just growing potatoes that you could buy in the grocery store, I don't know if I would give that much space to them, but I like to pick the variety that I think tastes really good.
And I think it's interesting, a lot of people have focused recently on growing a potato that is been grown for decades in Southeast Alaska. I hear it referred to as a Kasan potato, mm-hmm. as a Tlingit potato.
Right.
I don't know its real origin, but it's sort of halfway between what a Yukon Gold looks like and a fingerling. They tend to be a little bit fatter than a fingerling, and they have sort of these knobs on mm-hmm. them. And they're tasty, and they're tough, and they're productive here in Southeast, and that's exactly why we probably have them, is that they were a variety that grew well in mm-hmm. our conditions.
Yeah, so that would be what I would advocate, is find some varieties that are a little bit different, that taste good to you, that grow well, and stick with those.
All right, the other thing we wanted to touch on this morning was growing in containers. And there's lots of reasons to grow in containers. One, you can grow plants up away from pests that are otherwise mm-hmm. pesty. Perhaps you don't actually have a yard or a garden space, but you still want to grow things. Or you just want that intensive part of growing in a container, or you want it to bloom and then you're mm-hmm. going to move it away and right. bring in the next one. So lots of reasons to grow in containers.
I don't know, I love growing things in containers. And one of the other things I do with containers is when I buy a plant and I'm not really sure where I want to put it, because I'm a compulsive plant buyer, is I will put it in a container for a while until I make that decision. But that may or may not be ideal, but it is another good reason to have containers. But I really like containers, like Molly said, for things that pesky things get into. Tulips. I have pretty much moved tulips entirely in my garden to containers because some years there's lots of deer in my area, and deer just love to mow down tulips.
Yeah.
So that's one thing I do with my containers, is I'll grow tulips. If the deer are starting getting pesky, I'll put all the containers on the deck. That way I still have the blooms and I don't have this big long-standing frustration with deer monsters. So it's a good way to protect things. Other things I know get infested by slugs, particularly for you town people.
Right. One of the things I know that is just a magnet for slugs are some of those butterfly geranium, delphiniums.
Yes.
So the small delphiniums that are just really beautiful and fairly delicate, you can't even grow them if you have a slug, because they are such a slug magnet. So those are things to grow in a container. The other thing I like to grow in container are some of the really flower-producing annuals that mm-hmm. like a warmer climate than we have. And so there can be just a difference between a sunny spot up on a deck and against a house and a garden bed. That mm-hmm. that temperature differential can be really significant, and you'll have much sunnier,
yeah.
much brighter flowers, more flowers growing on a container.
They will definitely be happier. But if you want to grow, you can also grow lots of greens, lots of vegetables, particularly if you have slug issues. Having a pot with your basically your salad garden out there or up on a deck, someplace safe, slugs will climb, so you have to, you know, be cognizant of that. It's just a really nice way to do it. I guess a couple of things to think about, you know, backing up to, you know, maybe a little bit of pointers. For me, a lot of times we buy these containers, they're beautiful, but they're really deep, and they're deeper really than your plants need to grow. And so buying an entire bag of soil or finding that much soil to fill the whole container feels a little crazy to me. Plus the container becomes so ridiculously heavy. So I will often put something down in the bottom that will take up space. And I've used various things over the years. You have it. You can probably stuff it in there. It used to be a place I would put peanuts. I would put the packing peanuts, but I'd put them in a bag first. Because putting packing peanuts and then dumping soil in them, oh my gosh, big mess. Don't do that. I can attest to that. So something in the bottom, and then